Well, the hot cross buns have been in the shops for weeks now, while some of us are still throwing our hands up between mouthfuls and going, it's way too early. There are others who use the appearance of the holiday staple as the flag for some serious Easter holiday preparation. Well, at least that's the motto of our intrepid travel guru, Chris Parry. And today, Christopher, I'm assuming the Boy Scout in you is leading this push for forward planning for the four-day break in April, or is it something else?
No, we're going early, aren't we? If the retail giants can do it, then the media giants can do it.
That's us. Weekender, 6 p.m.
Yeah,
in
right.
the afternoon.
Yeah, we're going early as well. And why not? Because there's no point leaving it until the final week when every other travel show and travel person tells you to get ready for Easter. It's too late. Everything's already booked.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Go
now. It's not even March. Book those plans in and away you go.
All right, so while our other travel shows are going to leave it until a little bit longer, and you know what the annoying thing is too then, is you find there's no room left at the end when you go to book. That really annoys me. So
That's it.
That's all right. So, Perth audiences, time is now. We're going to work out if you're going to make a trip, where you're going, how you're going to get there. Happy to take suggestions from our listeners, aren't we? So 922 11 882. Christopher?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of ideas have you got for us? How about you take us on a road trip?
Yeah, I think for a road trip, if I was going to do a road trip from Perth, I would be looking at and I'm playing favourites here because it's my neck of the woods where I grew up as a kid, Dryandra Woodland Village. Less than 2 hours drive from Perth to the southeast and just north of Narrogin. So within 28,000 hectares, you've got old 1920s woodcutter cottages, all of varying sizes and all varying reasonable expense, and different configurations as well. So you can go down as a couple, go down as a family, you can go down and take friends. There'll be plenty of room, plenty of configurations with the cottages they've got to accommodate whatever you're travelling with. You'll sit on the front porch, kangaroos grazing out the front, possums in the trees outside your back door that you can shine the light up to at night. Lots of other adventures to be had there.
Ooh,
as well.
Possums inside your roof?
Oh, possibly. More likely inside your rubbish bin outside the back door, but that's okay. And there's lots of bushwalks to be had as well that loop back on themselves so you don't get lost. Camp ovens for making damper. But probably the most special thing and the thing I've always enjoyed most about Dryandra is at night the Department of Parks and Wildlife have a sanctuary down there called Barnamire. And with some infrared torches, you get to sit quietly in the darkness with a canopy of stars overhead and watch little bilbies and booties and quenders and rufous hair wallabies and numbats all come out of the undergrowth. Mm. And just wonderful to watch them feed. And they're just so fragile as they shuffle and skip and scratch. And they don't have a thought for their own endangered status.
Chris, is there someone that sits there and goes through it with you, or is it a
separate? Oh, yeah. It's a really well-run program. All you have to do is contact the Department of Parks and Wildlife in Narrogin and book for one of those evening tours. I think it starts at about 8:30 or 9:00.
Mm-hmm.
So the easiest thing to do from the cottage is they give you a map and you drive right into the dead heart of the dead centre of Dryandra. And it's a fenced-off enclosure, so all of those animals are free to roam around and no predation by cats or anything like that. And it's a wonderful experience.
Hmm. Well, what was Dryandra originally saying? It was a woodcutter's kind of village, was it?
Well, that's what the cottages were for.
Yeah.
They cut down a lot of the timber there originally, but it's a beautiful forest now. And obviously, it's surrounded, I guess, but by a lot of farmland. But those 28,000 hectares are exquisite, beautiful walking and full of animals, the emus, the kangaroos. And I think one of the things I love is in the mornings and in the afternoons as well, the way the sun shines on sort of paperbark trees and the gold sap, those sorts of things. Just the colours as you walk around are just beautiful.
Okay. How about the rail journey?
The rail journey from Perth. Well, I know that previously we've done Kalgoorlie and we both have a special place in our heart for Kalgoorlie, so the prospect is a good one. But how about south on the mighty Australind from Perth to Bunbury? It's 2.5 hours. Hop on at about 9 or 9:30 in the morning. You're there before midday. From the heart of Perth to the heart of Bunbury, no car, no need.
Oh, we can avoid all that Easter traffic. Now you're talking the language of a lot of people.
Straight past everyone else. And there's so much accommodation within that CBD of Bunbury, and a great range of accommodation too, from good quality self-service apartments to good quality hotels to dodgy motels to good caravan parks with good chalets, all from that Kumbana Bay area right through to the Back Beach area. There's a lot of accommodation there and a lot of things to do for a long weekend that you won't need a car, and then you can just get back on the train back to Perth. And what that train ticket also gives you is free public transport in Perth. So from wherever you live in Perth, you could actually catch the bus or the train into the CBD, where you'll get the train down to Bunbury.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
I'm impressed. Thank you, Christopher Parry, our travel guru. That is fantastic news. So what? When you go down to Bunbury, I'm really keen on the Dolphin Discovery Centre. Is that walking distance?
That's walking distance from the CBD. If you were sort of in that CBD strip, having a coffee and you thought, let's walk to the Dolphin Discovery Centre, then it would probably, if you've got some short legs with your group, it's probably going to take you half an hour to three quarters of an hour. But if it's just grown-up legs, you know, you should be able to do that in 20 minutes, no worries, and along the beach of Kumbana Bay. Yeah. And along the way, you know, it might take you a bit longer if you stop at Taffy's Lolly Shop on the waterfront, where you can watch the lollies being made and then buy some as well. So can't go wrong there.
That's
and then
great.
Maybe continue your walk around the Mangrove Cove. So near the southernmost mangroves in WA, and they're adjacent to the Dolphin Discovery Centre. So,
and is there good information on all these bits and pieces? Is there downloadable guides or anything like that?
Well, certainly the it's quite easily Googleable, the Bunbury Tourism Centre, and also the Discovery Centre as well. I'll also put some information on my website if anyone's interested of everything we've talked about. I'll sort of bundle up as a bit of a package to help people along there. Because the other great thing, and you probably would need a taxi for it, I guess, but there's the Bunbury Wildlife Park. With birds you can feed and kangaroos, you can watch those under a tree, and they've got wombats and wallabies and emus and all those things as well. So plenty to do down there for a long weekend that doesn't involve the congestion of traffic.
Yeah, and they've actually redeveloped all that waterfront too, haven't they? There's those beautiful paths and bits and pieces too.
Yeah, and that, I guess, that walking around the Mangrove Cove, that's actually interesting from an archaeological point of view as well, because a lot of the ships from the 19th century, so we're talking about the 1800s, were hauled up there, and there have been university studies over the past few years digging up those wrecks, trying to identify what they were, old whalers and other sorts of ships. So a very interesting part of the world.
Ah, that is interesting indeed. Christopher Parry, thank you so much for that information and some more great ideas.
That's okay. And just before we go,
you
were talking about your love of dodgeball and your experience with dodgeball.
Yeah.
We can do a little segue from your love of dodgeball to my love of travel. The World Dodgeball Championships are going to be held in Toronto in September and October this year.
Oh.
And you're allowed to aim for the head.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Thanks for clearing that one up for us.
The Russians are playing.
The Russians are playing. Okay, well, that sounds like a bit of fun. I'm actually off to Canada in, I think, July this year, so for some work for a travel show that I do. I wonder if we can postpone it and go a little bit later, and I can include my love of dodgeball. Toronto, you reckon?
Toronto, September and October, it's on.
Christopher Parry, if it's happening in the world, you know about it. And if you want to hear Chris's holiday ideas again, or any of the other musings that he has on all things travel, from travel warnings and tips to holidaying in our own backyard, you can log on to Chris Parry Writes for Us and go on a little journey on your home computer before you hit the road. Christopher, we'll catch up with you next weekend.
See you later.
You're listening to 882 6PR. We're coming up to the news time at 4 o'clock.